Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Brett McMurphy covers college football for the Action Network. We are officially in the midst of college football season. Week zero is done. Week one is not. He joins us now. Brett, how are we doing?
Good. Finally got some games going. We can stop talking about lawsuits and all that nonsense. At least I will. And if I have some games on the field, looking forward to it.
So I guess before we get into the games themselves, I would ask you from a big picture standpoint, from a handicapping standpoint, if you were putting odds on it, the odds that this particular season with the new expanded playoff will be a smashing success are what? Are they -1,000, -2,000? I mean, are we going to be talking about, you know, one of the most intriguing, interesting college football seasons ever this year?
Yeah, I think the odds are almost as good as this being one of the most intriguing seasons. The same odds as Colorado winning the national championship. That's a joke because everybody loves to bet on Colorado to win the national championship.
Apparently so.
Moth to a flame, Brett.
No, it's... it's -1 billion. It's going to be crazy. You're going to get, you know, I will say this, it's going to be crazy because we're going to get into late October, early November, and there literally could be 30 teams with a legitimate possibility to get to the college football playoff. However, when we get to first week of January, mid-January, it's probably going to be the same usual suspects that are in the Final Four. But, hey, at least we had some newcomers along the way. But, no, it's going to be great from the power leagues with the at-large teams. You know, Florida State last year would have been given up for dead. They kind of look like they were given up for dead in Ireland. But, you know, mathematically they're still alive. And, you know, obviously the non-power leagues, you know, you win your league and you got a one in five chance or better, depending on what league you're in, to get to the playoffs. So, no, that's going to be cool. And I also think I think TV ratings will be insane this year because, you know, college football is kind of, you know, morphed into a national sport. But I think more than ever this year, you're going to have fans of the American tuning in to some Mountain West games to perhaps root against Boise State or root for UNLV or whoever it is, because it may help Memphis's chances, or it may help, a Sunbelt team that they like. So you're going to be tuning into these MAC games on Tuesday nights to root against the conference favorite so they can suffer a loss and shuffle down the selection committee ranking. So yeah, I think it's going to be really, really cool. And the best thing is nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. So that, I think that adds to the intrigue also.
Well, you touched on it. We've got the extra layer of excitement around here because obviously winning the AAC, as you mentioned, would put Memphis in a position where maybe you're representing the group of five in the college football playoff. I mean, there is legit buzz around here in Memphis, obviously, because I mean, you look at experts, they're picking Memphis, and you're one of them in terms of if you're looking at Memphis or you're looking at a Mountain West champion in Boise State. We know they've got a big one against Oregon. You know, that Memphis was hoping, hey, we've got an equivalent game against Florida State. Not, you can't really say that now, but if you throw in a Liberty, who would you give, Brett, the best chances of being, you know, right now looking at their schedules, the best chance of being that group of five representative?
Well, obviously you've got to win. So I think this, you know, everyone makes a lot about the schedule, but bottom line is you got to win. Look, Liberty plays, you know, 12 tomato cans, and I want to apologize because I just insulted tomato cans, but they literally, you know, we could grab 7-8 other guys and we could put together a stronger starting lineup than anything Liberty's going to face, with the exception of App State. I think this isn't fair, but it's human nature. I think the committee's going to hold against Liberty what happened last year in the Fiesta Bowl, where they got just trounced. And so if they run out a 12-0 season, there's no strength of schedule there. Mm-hmm. So I think, not that they're going to be dismissed, but I think another group of five champ with potentially two losses could get in over Liberty. I know a lot of people are high on Boise. I understand why. I actually don't think Boise is going to get to the playoff. And the reason is, you mentioned their strength of schedule. I think it's too hard. That may sound weird, but they play, they're at Oregon. That's a loss. Yep. They also have Washington State and Oregon State.
Right.
Now, if they can win both of those games, and they can, and then they lose one in the Mountain West, and they're 10-2 with two wins against Washington State and Oregon State, I think they've got a good shot.
I agree.
However, they have 5 non-conference games. They only have 7 conference games. So if they lose to somebody in the Mountain West, you only have 6 games remaining to overcome the head-to-head,
right,
you know, tiebreaker. So they could actually lose a game and miss out on getting to the Mountain West playoff. As far as Memphis and Florida State, it's Florida State lost, big deal. If Memphis beats Florida State, it's still a win against an ACC team. Mm-hmm. It's obviously it's on the road. I wouldn't discount that. Obviously, you need Florida State to win as many games as possible to make that, you know, as strong a win as you can. But I wouldn't put much into the fact that Florida State lost. I don't think it's like, well, you know, Memphis's playoff hopes are dead because Florida State lost to Georgia Tech. Now, if Florida State goes 5-7, that's another thing. But Florida State, you know, they're going to end up 7, well, not 7. They'll end up 8-9 wins probably. And if Memphis can beat an ACC team with 8 or 9 wins, that's certainly going to be one of the strongest non-conference wins, I would think, of any of the G5 contenders.
Brett, I would just ask you, in this, you know, in this playoff expanded world, you know, we know how increasingly rare it is for teams like Memphis to get games like teams against Florida State. But that being said, in this new world where it's just winning, I mean, yeah, like if you're really, you know, in a dead heat against somebody, strength of schedule may matter. But what's more valuable if you're a school like Memphis in 2024, getting a game against Florida State or preserving your chance to be undefeated because you play in a poor league and replacing a Florida State with a Grand Valley State?
I mean, that's a really good question. And, you know, I don't sit on the fence and not give you an answer, but I honestly can't answer that because nobody knows the answer to that, because that's based on the opinions of the 13 people on the selection committee. And last year they thought, you know, undefeated Liberty was better than a 2-loss SMU team with a much stronger strength of schedule component. I talked to somebody that was on the committee last year, and I asked them, one, about Florida State being left out, and I asked them, two, about Liberty getting picked over SMU. And this person told me, Brett, we actually debated more about Liberty and SMU than we did whether Florida State should have been in the top 4 or not. And I said, well, regarding the Liberty-SMU argument, I go, you guys effed it up. And he said, hey, dude, I only had one vote. You know, don't blame me. So, you know, how does this year's committee look at undefeated team with playing, you know, 90% of their games against teams that are among the worst 30 in the country versus other, you know, G5 teams that will play, you know, 75% of their games against teams in the top 80, you know, ranked teams in the country? We don't know. I mean, we can sit here and say what they should do, but we don't know. So it's impossible to say, you know, well, it's better to go undefeated, or no, it's better to play a Power 5 and take your chances with those. The hope is that the strength of schedule is going to matter more. I mean, certainly at the Power 5 level, that's what they believe. I think, and people have said this, I agree that a 3-loss Power 5 team will get in a large bid. I believe that because I don't think there's going to be an undefeated team at the end of the year other than Liberty. And, you know, there's going to be several teams with multiple losses that will be available for the at-large. We'll see if the committee values strength of schedule for the group of 5 the same. It's weird. I think in the past they've looked at them differently. I don't know why, but they have. And then also I think, you know, real quickly, the strength of your league matters too. You know, if the American has 5 or 6 teams that are solid teams that are, you know, in the top 40 in the country, then obviously that makes Memphis's, you know, resume look a lot better. Well, if Memphis runs roughshod through the AAC and, you know, the rest of the ACC smells like bad fish, then, you know, that's obviously going to knock them down a notch. So, you know, it's kind of an imperfect science. I mean, it's a great question. The problem is there's no way of knowing, because we don't know how these 13 individuals are going to vote. And it's going to be different than the selection committees we've had each of the last 10 years, because it's a different group of people.
Chances, last thing on that group of five, how optimistic are you that spot will remain there, so long as Memphis is there, so long as Tulane is there, the Boise States, the ones that have not been called up to the Power Four? You're always going to want that seat at the table, and you're always going to hope that the big boys allow you to have it. Are you optimistic that there will, you know, my partner and I were talking about this yesterday, are the big dogs one of these days going to push you out and say, we don't need you, we want another spot for us? Are you pretty confident they're going to keep a spot like this for, you know, for the, I hate to say little guy, but frankly, it is.
No, you're right. Yeah. So as long as it's in the current format where all of the conferences are included, then the non-power leagues, the group of five, will always have an automatic bid to the playoff. Because if they don't, you know, you thought the House settlement lawsuit was significant. Well, you know, then you'd have a storm of lawsuits come down the pike if they suddenly said, okay, group five champ, you're no longer in the playoff. That will never happen. But you know a butt was coming. Yes. But we could get to a point, not anytime soon, but somewhere down the road, where the SEC and the Big Ten decide, you know what, we're just going to do our own little playoff.
Yep.
And we're going to group, you know, by then the SEC and Big Ten will be up to 20 members or 24 members. And they'll decide, you know what, we're going to do our playoffs. And, you know, only the teams in our leagues can do the playoffs. Then, yeah, absolutely, at that point, mm-hmm. you know, the group of five would not be involved. Heck, the ACC, if there is an ACC, would not be involved. The Big 12 probably would be on the outside also. And so, yeah, if we ever got to that, and that's obviously a real radical opinion, but it's possible. We never know how this is going to end up.
Sure.
If that happens, then yeah, the group five's on the outside. But as long as the college football playoff continues and it's including all of the conferences, even though the odds of the non-power league getting in are a lot smaller than the power leagues, then yes, they will always do that. And that's why they specifically did the five highest ranked conference champs, because that guarantees somebody from a non-power league getting into the playoff.
Talking to Brett McMurphy, covers college football for the Action Network. One of the best games, obviously, of the week is number one ranked Georgia, sort of, basically, hosting Clemson. Georgia is a 13.5-point favorite. It feels like it wants to go to 14. I mean, we're right there on the precipice of this going to 14. And it just, I don't know, Brett, I don't know if Georgia will cover the number or not, but it just sort of makes me feel like, damn, man. I mean, this is a 14th-ranked Clemson team, and the gap is two touchdowns, essentially, between them and Georgia. Like, how did we get here with Clemson football?
So it's funny. I love the way you asked me that question. Yeah, I know I joke a lot, but I'm being serious, because this is what Clemson has become. They won nine games last year, and the sky's falling. It was the worst season in 13 years. Nine wins. That's your worst season in 13 years. You got Tyler from Spartanburg calling Dabo's radio show, you know, asking Dabo what in the world's going wrong, you know, why are you making so much money, et cetera, et cetera. What's funny is last year, Clemson probably should have won 12 games. The four games they lost, they outgained their opponents in three of those games. You know, look, you got to score more points, but more often than not, you gain more yards than your opponent, you win the game. They had a bunch of miscues in the red zone, missed field goals, turnovers that cost them three of those four games. So that technically they probably should have, could have won 10, 11, 12. Bottom line, they didn't. And then you add in the polarizing factor that Dabo will not admit there is a transfer portal. So, yeah, you're right. Here we are. We've got a top 15 ranked team, and they're 2-touchdown underdog to Georgia. I don't think it gets up to 14 points because I think Georgia will announce some suspensions before kickoff. ETN at running back is probably not playing. There may be a couple other guys. But I think this is Dabo, the master of motivation. He's going to be playing this up. Nobody's giving us a chance, all that stuff. And also the fact that he doesn't bring anybody in from the transfer portal, he kind of sends a message to his team that I think, we'll see if it works out. But ultimately, kind of like a belief in his team, like, look, sure, I don't need to bring anybody from the outside because I got everybody I need right here. That sounds great. We'll see if that translates back into getting back to the college football playoff. But, yeah, it is funny. People are wondering what in the world's gone wrong with Clemson when all they did was win 9 games last year. But that's how it is at every program. Once you hit that high level, if you don't reach that high level, college football playoff, winning a national championship, then, yeah, it's a disappointment. But that's where we are with Clemson. But certainly we're going to find out right off the bat if Clemson's going to be a legit contender, not only in the ACC but nationally. But, yeah, I think Georgia's ultimately too strong. I think Georgia will eventually wear them down. Kind of what you mentioned, a quasi-home game there in Atlanta.
Real quick, I mean, it's not remotely the same level, but we're in a point. We're at a point now with Memphis football where if they go 9-3 this year and they don't win the American, and Ryan Silverfield has never won the American, they've been picked for the first time ever to win it, it's going to be disappointment around here on 9 wins, whereas back in the day, people are jumping for joy on 9 wins. I got to ask you, though, about this Notre Dame-Texas A&M game and how big it is for Notre Dame. You talked about Florida State and the possibility that they could shake off that loss. It doesn't feel like to me, with what Notre Dame's got on the schedule and knowing they don't obviously have a conference championship game that they'll benefit from, that they've got to win this one. Is this already a playoff game for Notre Dame, and how do you see it playing out at Texas A&M?
Yeah, it kind of almost is a playoff game for Notre Dame because we talked earlier about strength of schedule. After this, they basically have, Louisville at home. Georgia Tech is now a tougher game, maybe, than Notre Dame thought it'd be earlier in the year. They have Florida State and USC. So they literally have like a 3 or 4-game season. The other schools I didn't mention, Notre Dame's going to be a minimum of 21-point favorites against. Yeah. I like A&M in this game. Mike Elko was at Notre Dame. He knows what Riley Leonard can do at quarterback. Yep. And also Notre Dame has – I know, the offensive line doesn't grab a lot of headlines, but they lost 2 starters in preseason. Notre Dame did. The starting left tackle is going to be a true freshman. Their left guard's going to be a redshirt freshman. And you're going to be going into a crazed atmosphere. The attitude in College Station, I'm told, is a total 180 difference than when Jimbo Fisher was there. And there's a lot of optimistic. And, look, if Mike Elko can win at Duke, then what in the world is he going to do at A&M when he's got twice the resources there? The key for A&M is they got to keep their quarterback upright. That hurt him last year. Obviously, Elko wasn't there. But, so going into the opener, the quarterback's healthy. I really like A&M in this game. And if you're right. If Notre Dame loses this, they do not have a lot of opportunities as far as quality opponents the rest of the way. Only 2 ranked teams the rest of the way. And they don't even play those until you get to November.
Right.
So if Notre Dame loses this, they may have to run the table to get to the playoff. I talked about 3-loss teams making it for the Power 5 leagues. 3-loss Notre Dame's not getting in.
Sir.
Is a 2-loss Notre Dame team getting in? Boy, I'm not sure, because those 10 wins, are not going to be against the highest quality of opponents. So, yeah, in a weird way, you know, we're not even out of August yet, and could it possibly be a playoff game for Notre Dame? Maybe this is their round of 32 for Notre Dame first week.
That's right. Hey, Brett, man, this was awesome.
Thank you, Brett.
Appreciate that. I'd ask you about conference realignment, but I really don't feel like being depressed. So we appreciate the time, as
Thank
always,
you so
my
much,
friend.
Brett.
Thank you.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. He is Brett McMurphy from the Action Network.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.